This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon to you, Dale Cranford, back next week. Mike Winters, you are stuck with me today because I'm the guy that is here. So.
You're the guy pushing all the buttons.
Yeah. So, by the way, let me mention right at the front end, here we've been talking and online about the Highway 38 closure. Looks like it is one lane closed 6 miles west of Drain. That semi crash in the 6 a.m. hour this morning. But my understanding was that it was a fuel truck that was spilling fuel and created quite the mess. I actually heard the initial back and forth on the police scanner early this morning. And so it was sideways, and it was near a body of water.
Oh,
and
boy.
So a lot of work over there. look at tripcheck.com. We'll keep you updated as best we can here. But if you're trying to head over that way, a lot of folks had to, you know, to totally divert their plans because there's only so many ways to get from point A to B over there. So, again, looks like a delay, maybe one lane closed, maybe some help getting through the area, but a delay still in place over there this afternoon. Mm. I have noticed, by the way, that now my yard looks like it needs to be mowed tonight. I mowed it on Thursday of last week, mm-hmm. and it already looks like it needs it again.
Well, why don't you low it mower? Mow it lower.
I like where it's, you know, I like where it looks, and it's kind of the place I've already, you know, I've always kept it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm happy about that. Weeding wise, I made some progress. The Cassarone has had some effect in some areas. Good. I didn't put as much out as I should have in other areas I can see.
Yep.
So I'm still behind on that. And I also noticed, here's a question for you at the front end. I'll just ask my own question.
Good.
And get my own problem solved and move on. backyard tree, the big backyard tree by the bedroom to the left of the deck, for those of you watching at home. Part of that is now we've got a lot that is kind of hanging over or near the top of the roof.
Yep.
But do you have to wait for fall to take that down?
Well, not really, but no, you don't have to. You're talking just the one branch.
There's more than one branch, but you've got a kind of a clump there that really needs to be trimmed back and all that.
I've noticed that over the years, and I was wondering when you were ever going to do that.
We talked about that last year, but I think at that point in the summer when you were working on it, you didn't think it was the right time.
No, it wasn't.
So then I waited, and here I am again, and it's summer again, and it's still not the right time.
You're a summertime type.
it just has to go.
Well, you know, when it finally goes dormant and loses its leaves, you know, that's the safest time of the year. I'm not saying you can't do it now, because we had a big oak at our place pruned, a month or so ago, and it was pushing some new growth, and we cut it. I didn't cut it, but a tree service cut it because it was 40 feet in the air. And when they were done, there was not a leaf on it. And it's still probably 30 feet tall. And within the last 3 weeks, new branches have come out, new leaves have come out. So, you know, based on that, doing it myself, it's seeing the results, I would go ahead and cut.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can figure that out. So I think that's my question for today. Now you can go on with your notes.
Oh, okay. Welcome to the show. I hope you're listening, and I want to thank you.
Hope you're listening.
No, I hope they are. I hope they're listening with attentive ears so they can get all the wisdom that I have to share with them today.
So probably they should pull to the side of the road for the next 50 minutes.
I would say so. Yeah, in a safe spot so they don't get run over by a semi.
so just stop what you're doing, pull to the side, and listen intently.
And if you have a question about anything in your yard, or your lawn or your vegetable garden or whatever, you can call 673-4464, ask the question, and I will give you an answer, and it will be a correct answer. I guarantee that.
So we're not, we're staying away, though, from U.S. foreign policy, the monetary markets, and things like that.
Oh, we'll just talk Trump.
All right, let's talk lawn and gardens. We'll save the political things for the other programs that are better equipped to handle them.
Oh, you don't think I'm equipped to handle them, huh?
Purpose of this was lawn and garden. It was not to talk politics. We do that on many other programs people are welcome to listen to.
I listen all the time.
I mean, can you picture Lars Larson giving yard tips? I don't think so.
I gave him a few yard tips.
Well, that could be. But no. So let's stick with the script, as they say.
The script. Okay. Well, you know, as this weather starts to heat up, and it's not heated up the way it has in the past few years, watering your yards comes into play, of course. And not that they're in dire straits and dying of thirst, the lawns or the shrubs, et cetera. There's probably still some moisture in the ground. And the question is, how much and how often should we be watering lawns and shrubs? And I get that question when I still was an active landscape contractor and owned a nursery, which I don't own anymore, I'd get those questions all the time. And I've harped on this, for the past many years I've been on this show. It's overwater, Part of the watering is essential, and there are two ways to water, too much or too little, and both ways are not going to give you any good results. And since there are folks that have like brand new landscapes, I will repeat the proper watering techniques to those folks for their success. Lawns, shrubs, trees, ground covers are all require different watering techniques, times, and that kind of thing. So bear with me as I repeat myself, and I see the same incorrect watering patterns being applied as I drive around the city of Roseburg and Winston and whatever city I'm in. I see somebody watering their lawn at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's 85 degrees, and I'm thinking, what a waste of time, what a waste of water. It's not going to help, or very little help to it. But keep in mind that lawns, shrubs, and trees are different, and they need water. Their need for water just is not the same. The lawns need it a little bit more than shrubs and trees that are solidified in their growing habitat. I mean, they've been in for a year or more. They've got some sort of a root system going, and they're reaching for water that's in the soil already. Whereas lawns are often more shallow rooted, and it depends upon the soil structure of your yard too. But if you take my advice, it's going to give you some good results and save you money on your water bill. And that's a good thing, and especially when all these prices seem to increase on a day-by-day basis. And time and time again, I see underwater, and then as I drive around Douglas County, I can see that there are problems. I can see these problems when I'm going by at 60 miles an hour, not in town, but out in the boondocks where somebody might be watering. And that's, of course, different from hay fields, different from pastures, that kind of thing, because they leave their water on for hours and hours and hours at a time for a deep watering. So lawns, why are they turning brown so early? You go, my lawn, I've done this, and this, and it's still brown. Well, there's several reasons for that. Number one is that they're old lawns, probably, and full of thatch. And that is dead grass, which is built up after, when you mow, even you have a mower that sucks up the grass, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't suck it all up. there's still a certain amount of grass that falls down in between the live grass and kind of builds up over time, and that's called thatch. And it acts just like a thatched roof in that when rain or sprinklers hit it, not all that water can get through to the root systems, and consequently you have some browning of your lawn. And there's a lot of things that you can do, but it's a grass buildup, and you can water and water and water. Eventually that water will get down there if you water long enough. But the first thing is to thatch your lawn. That means to remove the old grass, and then you aerate after that. And a thatching machine can be rented at Roseburg Rentals or any other rental place. And what it does, it combs the dead grass out. It kind of thins the lawn, if you will. And then you aerate, which means you rent another machine called an aerator, and it actually pulls plugs of soil out so that when you do water and you do fertilize, everything does get down into that root system, and then you see a miraculous transformation of your grass from brown or light green to deep green and lush. And if you do that with a high-quality fertilizer and you water deeply, say, for 3 to 4 days in a row, you know, you're overwatering it on purpose just to get that fertilizer down into the root systems, you're good to go. And then after that, once it's gotten to the stage where it's looks good and it looks healthy and it's growing well, yeah, you're going to water deeply maybe once a week or twice a week, depending on your soil, and that's it. But if you water in the early morning or the after the sun goes down, you're going to get more bang for the buck. And you continue to fertilize at least once per month till about October, and you'll see a miraculous difference. And do this if you only want a nice green lawn. If it doesn't matter, hey, just mow what you got and go with it. But don't waste your time watering it, or don't waste your money on watering it, because it's not going to change, or it's going to change very little. And of equal importance is mowing height. I know that some folks think, well, I'm just going to mow it short. That way I don't have to mow it so often. Well, the problem is you're cutting off all the green live grass and getting down to the stems where it's just barely out of the soil, and they don't get the sun, and so consequently you're saying, well, my lawn is brown again. Well, it's because you're cutting it too short. Leave the mower height up. Try it. Try if you're mowing at a, I don't know what kind of mower you have, but let's say a 3 is neutral, it's medium. Well, put it up to a 4 and see if there's a transformation. If not, put it up another notch, and the lawn may be, you think, a little shaggy, but it's green. And if it's green, it's living, and it's putting oxygen into your air, and it's cooling off your yard at the same time. So that's the kind of thing that you want to do in the long run.
So there's actually an adjustment on the mower to do that.
Yes, on new mowers. Now, the old-fashioned real push mowers that you used back in the 40s, no.
That was before the internet, right?
Yeah, it was before the internet.
Well, because I, you know, a long time ago, I didn't know that adjustment feature was there.
Oh.
And so it took forever to mow the lawn, because I would be on one side of the mower and my wife would be on the other, and we would just pick it up a little bit based on what height we thought it should be.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And one of the neighbors came over and
showed
corrected
you?
Us.
Showed
yeah.
you?
Well, no, I'm kidding. But I think, you know, not everybody understands how mowers work sometimes.
Well, that's true. And that's why when you buy a mower, get an instruction booklet with it and talk to the guy that sells it to you.
Oh, the booklet comes with it,
yeah.
But do I read it?
Well, it's got pictures. You can look at the pictures and it shows you. Or you can listen to the show every week and I'll tell you, it's okay. We'll be back, honest.
All right, back with more in a moment. We'll give you a traffic update for Highway 38 as well. Stand by for that. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Before we get back to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, an update from the Oregon Department of Transportation. Highway 38, 6 miles west of Drain, now with one lane open to traffic. Flaggers directing traffic in both directions. That highway had been shut down for about 10 hours due to a semi crash and fuel spill. Expect congestion in that area. And make sure to go to tripcheck.com if you want the latest information later if you are heading out there. You know, we were talking about what people don't know about lawnmowers. I forget that you have a riding mower. How much property do you have to mow?
Oh, several acres.
Wow.
Yeah, but it goes quick.
I've never had a riding mower. Obviously, on my yard, that would make no sense.
No, it wouldn't. Your yard is rather small.
Yeah, well, you couldn't even... there's places you couldn't even use it based on where the trees are and all of that.
So. You have to have some sort of a turning radius to get the thing, you know, to operate properly.
Yeah, I've been fine with the typical mower we have now, especially after we added the wine glass holders.
Wine glass holders.
So, you know, well, it's just like on a bicycle, you've got, you know, your water.
Oh,
so I've got the, you know, so I can mow and enjoy. Usually a white wine, a crisp, cool white wine is good for mowing.
Oh, for mowing. I thought you were going to say for riding your bike.
Well, no, heavens, no. But because you're outdoors and it's, you know, maybe warm.
Oh, yeah. So, I got you.
I got you.
Back when I was training for triathlons, I used to have a water bottle with me all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I actually, for my walking, I need to go back to having one of those that I forget what it's called, backpack where you've got the little...
hose?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a hose, but you've got the little... you just basically suck on the straw that's attached to the pack of water.
Yeah, it's a small hose.
Okay. And by the way, I'm kidding about the wine glasses.
Yeah, he's got a special basket on his bike for those.
Oh, jeez. No,
I've seen it. I know.
No, and I can't do that when I'm walking either. The Roseburg police seem to...
I hope they're not listening.
That gives new meaning to the term wine walk.
Wine walk. Yeah.
26 miles. No, I don't think so.
I don't think you'd make the whole 26, buddy.
No.
Now, well, I'm talking about watering, actually, and not wine walking or anything like that. But shrubs and trees, you know, that are newly planted, they're going to require water at least once a week. If you've planted them in good soil, and that's the first year, and maybe twice a month the second year, and after that, you know, you check the soil, and if it's damp, don't water. If it's dry, give it a shot. You know, give it a good drowning, if you will. We have some big oak barrel type planters that you know, they're above ground, so they dry out more quickly than anything in the ground, and we very seldom water our plants that are in the ground. They've been in there for years now, and you know, once in a while, if it's a 90 degree day, you know, you go out in the evening when the sun has gone down and kind of refresh them and bring them back to life, if you will. And but the wine barrel kind of things, or the big pots on the surface, they need it maybe 2 to 3 times a week, a good soaking, and that seems to be you know, adequate. But you know, if you're looking at your shrubs and thinking, gosh, do I need to water them, all you got to do to get the real answer is dig down beside the root ball and feel the ground, you know, maybe 2-3 inches, and if it's damp, you know, it's even damper even further down. If it's bone dry, then you soak it, and depending on your soil, depending on the grade of your yards, is a flat yard, or is it on a slope or something like that, you can adjust your watering technique accordingly and not waste a bunch of water, not overwater anything or underwater anything. So if it's damp, you're okay. But, you know, we get into June. Now, we've had a very beautiful June. I mean, I'm impressed. We had a couple of kind of warmish days, but like today has been beautiful, 80 degrees or something like that. And usually we don't get into the super hot spell till about July and August. Those are my most unfavorite months, July and August, simply because when we were in the nursery business, that meant we were watering, oh gosh, 7-8 hours a day, from early morning till late afternoon, depending on how hot it was. And sometimes you have to do that in the middle of the day because these plants are in pots and they dry out a whole lot quicker. Now, on the flip side of what I just said, you know, when you have flowers like geraniums or petunias or fuchsias or something along that line, and you've got them in a small decorative flower bed, they're going to need a little bit more care since their root systems are smaller and more shallow. You have to water more often, and of course be conservative in that amount, but just give them enough to grow, survive, and look good. Again, it's the overwatering that kills them more quickly than the drought. And if you are new to having your yard, it will take some time to get to know your plants and what they need. And that's just a natural thing. Don't panic. If you don't know, ask somebody. Call a nursery, visit a nursery, call the ag department down here at the courthouse. The master gardeners, for instance, they'll help you, and it's good free advice, and most of those master gardeners really know their game, so it's okay. But getting to know your yard, getting to know the type of soil, and this will tell you a great deal. And after a while, you'll get used to it, and you'll just know intuitively how much to do. But don't give up if you lose a few plants. Just try to figure out what the plant needs. And remember, you can always add the water and the fertilizer, but you can't take it back out once you've added it. So that's that's something that most people don't consider is, well, I'll fertilize this today, and then I'll give it another shot in 2 weeks, and then maybe another shot in 2 weeks after that. Well, that would be way too much fertilizer, because most commercial fertilizers are pretty high potent types, and you'll probably burn your plants up, not totally and completely, but at least you'll see some damage occur if you fertilize too often. Because the granular fertilizer, when you spread it around the plant, you don't put it up next to the stem or anything. You just kind of go around where the drip line would be. And then you water it, and it begins to break down. And the next time you water it, the granular fertilizer breaks down a little bit more and begins to enter into the base of the root system. And over a period of time, say a 2 month period, that all that fertilizer has been expended, and the plant has drawn it up into, and you can see the difference. It's almost automatic. Now, if you use a liquid fertilizer, that's like a Snickers bar when you're really hungry. You're going, "Wow, man, I'm starving," but you stop at the local little store there and buy a Snickers bar and eat it on the way home before dinner. Dinner time rolls around. You're not very hungry, but you might eat anyway to cover up the fact that you ate a Snickers bar on the way home. But at any rate, that's how that fertilizer works too. You just want to a little bit at a time, and less often than more often, and you'll have good results. But the liquid fertilizer is very fast acting, and you can get, there's, oh gosh, a dozen different types. And you can get one that says shrubs and hanging baskets or flowers or trees or whatever, and follow the directions, and have your sprinkler can or a bucket or whatever, do the correct portions of the fertilizer to the water, and then just pour it around the base of the plant or right over the top of the plant, but not excuse me, not when the sun is 92 degrees and it's shining brightly on the plant. You want to do it either early morning or again after the sun goes down and it's twilight, that kind of thing. And what happens is that liquid fertilizer gets right down into the root system, and it's kind of like, whoo, and within days you see a dramatic difference in your plant's overall health. The leaves will be greener, and if you put a little bit too much on them, the leaves will be almost standing straight out and quivering and saying, "No more, no more." But if you do it in the correct amounts, and it's... If you don't follow those directions, you can damage your plants. It's as simple as that. But my main purpose in this radio show every week is to educate and, you know, to pass on the wisdom that I accumulated over the last 50 years as being a landscape contractor in Douglas County. And I've made a lot of mistakes in the early days when I was, I have 2 degrees in forestry and worked for BLM for a while and Oregon State University in forestry research and watershed management research, until I got tired of the government thing, and I decided to go into business for myself. And so I had a basic education, but when I started to apply the basic education, sometimes I overdid it. And I've killed my share of plants by over-fertilizing. I have also over-fertilized a lawn or two way back then, and had to learn, you know, follow the directions on the bag or on the bottle. And, you know, it's better to underdo it a little bit more won't hurt. Yeah, a little bit more could hurt. And then you got to start all over again. So just, and watch your plants, you know, look at them. Walk around in the evening and say, yeah, they look good. They're watered, they're fertilized, they're healthy. And I'm talking mainly about first year plantings. You know, the second year, they've got a better, bigger root system. They're more anchored into the ground. And as the plant gets larger and grows accordingly, you can give it a little bit more fertilizer, or you can give it a little bit more water, but not overdo it, not overdose it, because even a large plant, a tough plant like even a a juniper or a mugo pine or something along those lines that are just super tough can't handle an overdose of that commercial fertilizer. It just won't work for you. But the my learning period of destroying plants probably lasted about a year and a half, and I didn't destroy all of them, but sometimes I was overzealous in saying, yeah, well, if one handful of fertilizer will be good, maybe 2 handfuls or 3 handfuls will be even better on a tree, for instance, or a big, large shrub. And actually, the opposite occurs, and when the leaves start turning brown and falling off, you go, what the heck did I do? Oh, no, too much fertilizer, usually.
So that can have that effect.
Oh yes. I've affected a few plants that way.
Well, and it seems like, because I don't deal with fertilizing particularly, but it seems like there have been times where I don't know if it would have, what it would have been, Roundup maybe, but where I spray too much on something and then just the color goes.
Yep.
Just the color just goes. It's like,
yep,
oops.
It's gone the next day almost.
Yeah, it's like sort of like poison at that point.
Yeah.
This is KQEN Local.
Oops. Actually, we're going to hit this button.
Okay.
It's so hard to get good help.
Yeah, but we pay you a lot, so don't worry.
But I no comment. 435 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
4:39, the afternoon report coming at 5. Again, a reminder, Highway 38, 6 miles west of Drain, 1 lane now open to traffic. Flaggers directing traffic in both directions after that semi crash in the 6 a.m. hour this morning and the fuel spill. They're getting things still cleaned up from that one. It sounded like at the front end it was going to be a serious long-term issue. Honestly, I didn't think it would probably be 10 hours, but cleaning up when you're dealing with a spilled fuel truck that's on its side. There's all sorts of issues there.
Jeez, I can't even I would not want to be in that truck. Gosh. Anyway, I'm talking about making your plants healthy or killing them. And I'm trying to give you advice on both ends. And using myself as an example is perfect because I've made those mistakes. But, you know, but like I said earlier, over time, I've learned very valuable lessons and applied that info to my clients for, you know, a 50-year period and had success with it for the people that I designed and built landscapes for to make sure that they took care of it. And in fact, when we would finish a landscape, a week would go by after we were completed, and I'd do a drive-by and just look. And I can, like I said earlier, I can tell, I can drive by and see, I can spot anything wrong just by driving by. And if I saw something wrong, I'd stop or call them and say, hey, by the way, how often are you watering? How often, you know, how much are you watering? And they'd give me the answer, and I say, well, increase that or decrease that, or, you know, just water at a different time, or, you know, whatever the occasion and problem might be. But because I wanted my clients to be successful in their maintenance and their care for their yards, because they spent, you know, considerable dollars, you know, putting it together. And, you know, if you have questions and you don't call the show, I can't give you an answer. But if you have questions and you're out shopping and you want to know how to do this or know how to do that, you know, all plants usually have little tags on them with a little bit of information, but not enough for a real success. But they give you some basic things. And what I what I tell folks is, you know, ask a neighbor who's got a nice yard, hey, how do you take care of that? How often do you water? How often do you prune? Or how often do you fertilize your shrubs or your lawn? And, you know, how long is the water on? And, you know, just some basic questions. And if he has a nice yard next door or down the block, you know, you can kind of blend that into your own maintenance program and see success as well. Or if you're out there in a nursery, and I've done this 10,000 times over the years, people come in and they say, I'd like a hedge, or I'd like a showy shrub, or several showy shrubs for my entryway, or blah blah blah. And I question them, well, have you done that before? Are you familiar with the type of materials you're supposed to plant these in? And so oftentimes the answer was, well, I just dig a hole and put the dirt back in. No. you want this thing to live. And I would tell them, you know, the type of soil and what they'd have to do, and show them, you know, the different types of compost that they can blend with their native soil and make that a better soil, so that the plants, which are grown in top quality soil, can do that transition into their yard very smoothly, and not have to battle with chunks of hard clay or rock or shale or, you know, whatever. You know, we have all that kind of good soil here in Douglas County, mostly hard clay, and you can't plant something like that. But don't be afraid to ask questions. And in my research with my home plantings, I've always tried to find out how much stress could a tree or a shrub take and still survive and grow. So I had experimental plants here and there, and maybe I'd have three of one kind in an area and do one kind of care with two of them, and then either more or less care with the third one, and see if there was a difference in their growth. If the two that I was doing moderately were looking good, and the one that I was overwatering or over-fertilizing or underwatering, whatever, was looking bad, well, then I knew what I was doing wrong. And consequently, you learn a lesson from that, and you don't have to buy another plant and plant it again. But don't be afraid when you're shopping to ask questions at the nursery. The nursery people, in general, love to share their wisdom, and all you need to do is ask. And if they don't ask, ask them, do you understand how to plant this? Do you understand how to water this? Do you understand how to fertilize it or prune it? That kind of thing. And they'll... a lot of times say, no, I don't. I've never done this before, or I've got some plants in my yard that really don't need a lot of care, which is good. But try to find out how much basic knowledge that they might have as far as planting plants or plant maintenance, and give them hints and give them a way to approach that and sell them only tough stuff if they've got a tough yard. You're like, yeah, I got full sun from 6 a.m. till 9 p.m, and I want to do this. And they're looking at rhododendrons or azaleas. You go, no, that's not what you want in that kind of situation. And take them over to plants that will bloom, that will look good, that are evergreen or whatever they want, and say, this will fare much better in that location that you're describing to me. And if you want rhodies or you want azaleas, it'd be better if you planted them in a situation where there was morning sun and afternoon shade. They'll thrive and survive much better. And you know, everybody is thankful for that, because they don't want to keep repeating the process, keep repeating the plantings and that kind of stuff. So again, in my yard, I constantly watch and look and see, am I doing this correctly? Do I need to give it more water? Do I need to give it more this or that or less of this and that? And, you know, are there plants that can go without water? Well, after they've been in the ground for a while, like maybe 2 years, you'd probably never have to water a juniper or a pine, a mugo pine or a pine tree or some kind of a large tree after 2 growing seasons, because they have a sufficient root system that is tapped into the soil, and they have sufficient roots to reach out and gather nutrition and water so that they can survive. And in my beds around, I've got fairly good sized lawn area. It's not really a lawn, it's grass, okay? I live out in the boondocks, but I mow it. But around the edges, I built mounds, topsoil mounds, and I've planted most of my materials in these mounds. There's some places there are no mounds, but I do that because that prevents me from overwatering. Now, I'm on either a spring or a creek when I'm watering, so I have to be frugal with my watering anyway, and it's worked out really well. And it's just a getting used to how do I do this and have success with the plant. And that's what this show is all about. How do I do this yard, spend the money that I'm spending, and have a beautiful yard because of it? Now, pruning is the same way. You know, you've got shrubs that have been in, say, 3 or 4 or 5 years, and you planted them too close together initially because nobody told you how far apart to plant them. So you got to prune them and you got to shape them. So you think, well, when do I do that? Well, you can do it in the winter, but on a lot of flowering shrubs, usually prune them after they've flowered in the spring or early summer and they're putting on their new growth. You can prune them at that time. You can do it radically or just lightly, it doesn't matter, but that doesn't ruin them for the next season when the blooming time comes around. But if you prune the blooms, then you've lost the color, and they'll still survive, but they won't look as good the following year. And these are just kinds of hints to everything needs pruned. Everything needs to be shaped. You don't want dead wood in your shrubs or your trees. If you see a dead branch, take it out. Or like Kyle said, he's got a big branch growing over his roof. I've been to his house many times. I know what the branch he's talking about. You got to prune it, or it's going to fall on the roof one of these days and do damage. And of course, they're right next. Your tree is right next to your gutters, so a number of leaves do drop in that and can cause water problems to your siding.
Which means I probably should get the handyman person that does the gutters periodically.
Yes,
in or, there. I haven't done that for a while.
Well, if you have a ladder, you're
see. I'm not allowed. I'm actually legally from a medical provider and my attorney. I'm very serious. I'm not allowed to climb on the roof anymore.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't have to get on the roof. You're just on the ladder,
and
you reach into the gutter, and you just get all that junk out of there so it drains properly.
It seems to be more effective at this point to write a check.
This is KQEN.
And
local.
I did it again.
Okay.
There we go. Back with more in a moment. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, 450 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Wow, it is the final segment already. If you've not yet pulled to the side of the road, this is your final opportunity because 7 minutes of back-to-back insight starts right now with the Commissioner of Dirt.
Here I am, 673-4464 if you have a call. And don't walk out, Kyle, because you got to do the board there. But I was talking about pruning in the last segment, and sometimes I prune a tree or a shrub fairly hard because they haven't been pruned in a few years, and I've learned that 98% of the time they grow back, and then when they are at the size that you want them, you prune them lightly, and as long as you prune them lightly, you're not going to do damage to them. And I've not killed any plant from hard pruning, and some of them take a long time to grow again, but eventually they do, so you don't give up on them. So when I tell a client how to prune or water or fertilize or transplant, I know that if they follow my instructions, they're going to have success, and that's what the game is all about. I want them to have success. I want them to be pleased with their results when I give them these instructions. And I do that when I go consult with somebody. I have a consulting service now, and somebody calls me up and says, "Well, I don't know what to do with my yard. It's a mess. It's this. It's that. And I got all this overgrown stuff." Go over and spend an hour and a half with them, walking around the yard, even giving them some demonstrations of how to prune and what to do and how to water, how to fertilize. You know, if you got too many of these things here, take some of them out. It'll be much better for the remaining plants. and if they follow those instructions, their yard is much easier to take care of and is actually more attractive at the same time. And it's helping people fix or get their lawns back in shape, get their yard back in shape. So there's nothing worse, and I've lived in a house like this, my first home, and I've described it in the past, that everything that was planted there was planted 30 years ago. And for the last 10 before we rented it, it hadn't, nobody lived in it. And so consequently, it was very, very overgrown. And it took me 2 years to clean it up. And I worked on it a lot, but 2 years. And some of the stuff I actually took out, and some of the stuff I just pruned very radically, and I thought, well, if that don't kill it, okay. And it didn't. I took a wisteria. The trunk was maybe 4 inches in diameter, the main trunk, and it was spread all over the front yard into the driveway, that kind of thing. I whacked that thing back to about a three foot spread, and I thought, well, it's if it lives, good. If it doesn't, forget it. And it had, like I say, a trunk, so it was like a miniature tree. It was up about 4.5-5 feet, and then there was the top, and it looked like an umbrella. And then when it came out in the following spring, it came out and put the leaves on, and then the wisteria flowers. It was absolutely gorgeous. And all my neighbors who had been watching me, because their yards were, fairly nice and taken care of, and they'd say, "Wow, that really looks good. What did you do?" Well, I said, "Oh, I did this, this, and this." said, oh, you won't hurt it? No, you won't hurt it. And I kept it that way. And it was, you know, an eye attractor, if you will. People would comment, boy, that's a wisteria? That really looks good. You know, when I got there, it was growing over the top of the house and into trees and things like that. So you can take old plants and make them pretty. But you just have to get some information, even if you have to pay for the information, it's well worth it. And or get a book on pruning, and you can get those just about anywhere. But when I do a consultation, I as I walk around with a client, I ask a series of simple questions. You know, I ask first to get a feel for what's happening, like what has their experience been in the past, like how often do they water, how often do they fertilize, you know, what's your soil like, you know, is it hard clay or topsoil, blah, 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 and how long have these plants been in, and did you plant them? And if so, what soil amendments did you use? And I want to have a basic info so that I can design or discern what the problems are and give the correct solution and pathway to success for them. That's my bottom line. I want them to have success in their yard. Now that we have sold Wintergreen and my purpose in life has gotten simpler and less time-consuming, of course, and I'm still a licensed landscape contractor, bonded and insured and all that, so I've changed my business. I've got just like I said, I'm a consulting guy. No more labor, just words and plans and things like that and design, and that keeps me in the game, just not full time and day to day, and I like that. I even took a trip with my wife on Monday, a whole trip on, you know, we very seldom would be able to go away.
And you hadn't done that since like 1970, what?
No, 1906. And so we took this trip. Yeah, we went to Bandon and had fish and chips, and it was sunny, but very, very windy, cold, and the ocean was wild. I wouldn't have taken a boat over that bar for all the money in the world. I mean, it was crazy. And nobody was walking the beach except us. We went down there for maybe 6 or 7 minutes. That's all I could take because the waves were amazing and crashing into the jetties and stuff like that. So, but you know, it's the wild, wild west over there. But also, sometime this summer, the new owner wants me to teach a bonsai class at the Wintergreen Nursery, and we'll announce that when the time gets nearer, when she decides she wants to do it. And and I'll go through the history of bonsai, and then I'll get into the care and the pruning and the potting and how to take care of them. So if you're interested in bonsai, this will be a cool class.
Well, and you were back there. I mean, you were there when that was invented.
Yeah, I was. I was in Japan, and I went there to fight the Chinese and steal their bonsai.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for listening. I don't know if you enjoyed it or not, but I did.
All right, back next week with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. The Afternoon Report is ahead on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.